Please pray with me. Words, thoughts, feelings, all that we are. Oh God, may this be pleasing in your sight today as we seek to ground ourselves in Jesus. Amen. The summer after my first year of college, I got a job working in a furniture factory. It's kind of nice. I liked it. Of course, I knew it was just for the summer. And I'd encourage young people, you know, try out different jobs. It's a good thing to do. Get different experience. It may not be in the area that you will end up in, but hey. Anyways, this year, that one particular summer, working in the furniture factory, I was kind of at the end of a certain line. And it changed week by week. But a lot of the time, I spent doing something called distressing the furniture. And what that involved was, and this was before the final part of the furniture, all the pieces of furniture, a dresser or something, was all put together. But, you know, things like stain and varnish and everything, that came later. What I was doing, and I had some particular tools for this, but they're not any tools that I can find in any catalog. They're tools that were made especially for this and kind of looked jerry-rigged to me. But the whole purpose of that tool was to make that brand new piece of furniture look old. So I would take this distressing tool and on different pieces of furniture, and this distressing tool had nuts and bolts and wing nuts and things on a wire and stuff like this, and I would bang away on that piece of furniture to add a bunch of holes all over it. And then I had this little pointy thing that I would kind of put holes in and squirrely cues to imitate wormholes. As I did this, there was a part of me that just rebelled on the inside. I mean, I liked the job, but distressing a piece of beautiful furniture for the sake of making it look kind of like an antique. Distressing the furniture. You know that word, distressing, points us in the direction of this particular scripture, because this scripture is talking about anxiety, talking about the things that we stress ourselves over. Stress ourselves over. What is stress? Stress is the body's response to things that happen. We talked about post-traumatic stress syndrome earlier. It's the mind's as well as the body's response to a trauma. Stress is our response. Anxiety is connected to this. Stress. It was back in the 50s that a particular scientist started talking about stress and pointing out that there are both positive and negative stresses in life. The negative stresses he defined as distress. The positive stresses, and you might be asking, well, is there such a thing as positive stress? Well, yes, there is. But he called that eustress. Now, I hear the word distress a lot. I never hear the word eustress, E-U, stress, very much. Do you? But, you know, you cannot do anything in life without having stress. I mean, anytime you walk, your muscles are stressing. I mean, you know, they're flexing. It's built into our life, how we operate, our bodies, our minds. When one muscle is at rest, another is moving. Did you know that? There is never a point in our bodies when every single muscle is relaxed. Did you know that? Even when we're asleep. You know, when one muscle is stressed. Am I right on this, Dave? I hope. Sounds good to you. Okay. I'm no scientist, but okay. That's just what I've read, and which may be limited. Distress, eustress. I kind of liken distress, you know, and an anxiety as a way in which we beat on ourselves. I envision distress like I think with my mind's eye back to that summer in that furniture factory with that distressing tool. And instead of the piece of furniture pounding on, there's us. Distress is what we do in some ways to ourselves. And some you know, there are ways we can avoid that. We've mentioned a few. But this passage of Scripture points us in the direction of being able to work with distress and shift it in the positive direction that I believe our kingdom walk with Jesus is all about. Now you listen to this, what I think is one of our favorite passages of Scripture, at least for brethren. It talks about, you know, kind of simplifying our lives, getting down to basics. I mean, we don't have to necessarily listen to a sad story like, you know, the story of what happened in Johnstown or read the news reports of what happened in what's Burma called now, Myanmar and China, to get back to the basics, you know, where what you shall drink is really important. What you shall eat, yeah. What you shall wear. Those are the basics in life, are they not? I mean, basically in life, what we need to do is get up in the morning and, you know, find some way of gaining sustenance. You know, how many of us have really worried over the basics? Not many of us, I think. But that's the essentials. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, and I can envision him on a hillside talking to all these people, and I'm sure among those people were some folks who had lots of money, but I imagine these were probably just everyday people sitting on that hillside listening to what Jesus said. And maybe this picture can allow you, you know, to envision that. Just sitting there. And he was pointing to things he no doubt could see. The birds of the air. They're everywhere. But, you know, the birds, unlike us, don't go all out to try to save. They don't go all out to, you know, to plant and reap and all that type of stuff that's essential for daily life. And yet, they still live. There's something deeper than the daily grind. And likewise, the lilies of the field. Now, I think when we hear that, we shouldn't picture, you know, beautiful gardens. Because Jesus wasn't thinking of, you know, the garden that won the Beautiful Gardens Award. This is the field. The flowers that he could see, they all could see in the distance. The things we might consider weeds. Things that, you know, in a country without much firewood would be gathered when it dried and be used to cook and to warm. And yet, God has, as that song goes, his eye on the sparrow. God cares for the grass of the field. You know, it's all part of God's world, God created and cares for, as are we. Now, granted, there is plenty in life that distresses us. There are plenty of things that add all these nicks and dings and wormholes into our being. But it's important that we not be the ones to do that ourselves, isn't it? And we do. By worrying. Thinking so far ahead that we can't live in the present. One of the things I struggle with, and I think probably many of us do, is to seek to be just in life a non-anxious presence. It's not easy to do, is it? I mean, that's kind of a theme within ministry as a pastor, but you know, it's so hard to do, but it's also important in life. You know, children grow in an environment they will grow anyways in a highly anxious, stressful environment, but they grow so much better in an environment where parents are not beating with that distressing tool themselves or their children. Distressing the furniture. How do we get there? You know, it's one thing to say, don't worry. Has anybody ever told you that? And you wonder, well, how on earth do you do this? Well, I liken what Jesus said to broadening the picture. Opening up the panorama so that we can see. And that's what he was doing in that field, wasn't he not? He was getting people to look beyond themselves and even beyond him. To look at the birds in the air. And if you're looking in the air, you're looking beyond those. I mean, you can see those birds, but, you know, the whole play of the air is all there. If you look at the, you know, you know, sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees, you know that one. Well, we can't see the field for the individual thing, you know, the thing that's really stressing us out, anxiety. And Jesus in this, what did he say? He widened it, the picture, to the greatest picture of all. And what did he say? We just sang it. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's the big picture. It's not just an otherworldly thing that is nowhere near connected to the life that we're living now, but it is the realm of God that is coming into being. You know, it's not just out there. At one point, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is bubbling up all around. If only we have eyes to see, and eyes that can see beyond the moment and see the larger picture of God's care and God having the future, God's hands. A passage from Isaiah, you are inscribed in my hands. Did you see that picture we had up there? Beautiful picture. But this is a picture of us, God's hands. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the ways in which God is rightening our relationship. And all these things, well, they'll get taken care of. That's hard to live in that sense of living lives that are not necessarily careless in the negative sense, but care less because we are cared for. Letting go because we are letting God. Widening the picture. The Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard used this image for this particular scripture of back in his day, you know, when noblemen would travel, they would travel in an enclosed what's the word I'm thinking of? Pulled by horses, carriage. Okay, couldn't think of the word. And they would have lights that would make them feel safe as they're traveling along. You know, if you have a light, you can see, you know, what's in there and you know, traveling through the countryside and all, and they'd feel safe. But the only problem with a light like that is that your eyes get adjusted or only seeing what's right close around you. And everything else on the outside is just black. You can't see a thing. Juxtapose that, he said, against a poorer person walking without a light. And on a cloudless night, being able to see stars, being able to see what's really real, your eyes get accustomed to being able to see with the light that is already there. That's sort of what it is like to seek first the kingdom of God, to in some ways, there are certain lights that we are using that keep us from seeing what's really real. And our task in lessening the distress in our life is into trusting in what we see in the broadest picture of all, the picture of God's kingdom. Because God cares for us. We are inscribed on the palms of God's hands. That's a description of reality. Another description of reality Jesus started his whole Sermon on the Mount with. how does it begin? With the Beatitudes, which are not prescriptions. They're not something that if we would just fill them out and have the pharmacist give us the prescription and we take one a day, we'd be okay. They're a description of life. You know, blessed are you, happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. This is a description, widening the picture, seeing what is really real. Because it is all too easy. It is all too easy to just focus upon the stressors and allow our lives to be governed by them than it is to live each day at a time, knowing that the future is in God's hands. Let's not distress the furniture anymore. Amen?